Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered.
Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just.
Good evening, everyone. Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. And it's Sasha Madeline with Discussions in the Black Room. Sasha Madeline, sit you there.
I'm here. It's Conda K. And, you know, it's funny because my sister and I were literally just sitting here in the quote-unquote green room before we get into the show. And we just got into the whole discussion that we were going to talk about today.
I know.
What are we
talking about? Wait, I think, Dad, are you there? I think he's.
Yes,
making...
I'm here.
Oh, good evening.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to start off just by recognizing that I wish and I celebrate the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King today, January 15th.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday. And you know what's crazy? One of my coworkers, well, she's my friend too, but we work together. And we were looking, we were Googling something. And she Googled it and she was like, what? She was like, who is this? This is not Martin Luther King. And come to find out, it wasn't. Like, how do you Google? So Google talks about everybody's birthday, a special day, if it's Women's Month, blah, blah, blah. And they did not put Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the Google thing for his birthday. I was shocked.
Wow.
I was making a joke, and it's probably true. I was making a joke, they're probably going to put it on Monday, like, oh, his birthday changes every year. Like, really, Google? I was shocked to see. To everybody that's listening, go on Monday and see if you see Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. there on Monday. Because if you do,
you
Google needs a side eye. We got a side eye.
You it's only observed. It's only because it's observed.
But the person that they have up there, they described him as like an Anglo-Indian. And I was like, what in the world? Like, really? I'm Dr. Martin Luther King? But anyway, that is totally not the topic.
I digress.
What Daddy had said. Crazy. I mean, I know we're laughing and joking, but what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, serious and a lot more serious than some of us understand. And I don't really think that we've felt the effects of it as of yet. Even the people that will be directly affected come February, I don't think that it's really going to hit anybody until later on. And I don't even know if we're going to realize the effects of it. So I'm sure everybody can kind of gather, well, especially if you've seen the description, can gather what we will be talking today. The government shutdown and the systematic effects. And I also want us to talk about the emotional effects and about how we feel, because I know I have all sorts of feelings about, you know, this government shutdown and what it really feels like it means for America and for the people involved and for the system. And I know that a lot of us feel how we feel about, you know, what's going on in America and with people of color and immigrants and women and, you know, all the different allegations around the world and around the country. But the fact remains that if you live in America, you are affected by things that happen in America. No matter what you're going through culturally and emotionally and, you know, throughout the country, no matter what you're going through, what's happening, whether you like it or not, is still affecting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not affecting you directly, even if you're not getting, like, government assistance or whatever people are getting, it's still affecting you somehow. If you try to go on the air, you know, you're traveling,
That's
crazy. TSA Listen, airport, this airport security is one of the places that is most heavily regulated when it comes to security. So if you have some places heavily regulated on a regular basis, and then it goes from being heavily regulated to, all right, pass through, I don't really care what you got in your bag because I ain't getting paid, you're lucky I came in, that's a big difference. And that's very something to think about and something to consider, because I don't think a lot of things, we don't take a lot of things seriously, all of us, until it happens to us. Like, if it's not happening in our house or on our front, or on our, you know, front, we act like it doesn't affect us. And not we specifically, but in general. People act like things don't matter until it happens directly to them. So I think that
it goes even deeper than just TSA. Yeah, that's a huge, huge issue. But there's a lot of jobs that are considered government that we don't even realize our government, and we're being affected by it whether we realize it or not, you know. So we really have to take a good look at this, and, you know, there's so many people that will like, want to turn a blind eye to it, but you got to look it straight in the face, you got to realize it, and you just got to move forward and protect yourself and take this as a lesson learned.
I was going to say, whether you like America or not, all of these things affect us. Whether you feel, you know, regardless of how you feel, whether you like the president or not, the decisions that he makes affects you. It doesn't matter if you don't like him. It doesn't matter. You can't can't turn the television off when it comes to things like this. It's still going to affect you no matter what. So what were you going to say, Candace?
No, I was going to say our father can definitely speak about, you know, like, things like this happening previously, like, you know, this definitely can end up turning into...
This is the longest one.
Yeah, it's the longest one, and there's so many, many people being affected by it. And, you know, in our lifetime, we haven't experienced this, but I'm sure there are those that have experienced this previously. And it's a really hard time for people, especially when it happened, like how it happened on January 18th, literally a couple of days before Christmas, and then going into the new year, and it is still happening, and it's almost the end of January, and all of these employees and all of everybody that's being affected by it, like, it's a really big situation that we have to prepare ourselves and we have to move forward with.
And there's signs up for SNAP and for food stamps, and they're shutting things down, like literally shutting things down. Like, you're getting a certain thing. They gave you instructions. I saw somebody had sent me a picture of it. They are giving instructions on how to be able to get money. Okay. I was like, I knew I saw it. I thought it was my coworker. I knew I saw it. That's right. He did send it. Because they're giving instructions on what's going to happen, and, like, you're done after that, and that's crazy. And I know you wanted to ask Daddy a question, but I just want to say something really quick. I was in the store, I think it was this morning. It was either this morning or yesterday morning, and I was behind a lady, and she was paying for herself, and she was, like, 7 or 8 months pregnant, but she was paying with her EBT card. And regardless of how you may feel about that, like, when I saw it, I don't know the ins and outs of the situation, but when I saw it, the first thing I saw was how is she gonna eat? How is she gonna feed the baby?
Yeah.
If she is, like, 9 months, because she was big, and I was like, if she's about to have a baby, how is she gonna eat? I'm sure that has to do with Medicaid. Everything that she had has to do. If she doesn't have a plan B, like, how is she gonna take care of the baby? How is she gonna go to the hospital? How is she going to be able to, like, that's all I can think about. And I don't know if it's accurate because I don't think anything like this has happened before, but that's all I can think about. And I think that that's, in addition to what you were saying, the uncertainty is really unfortunate because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, there's people that literally work for the government that are now having to utilize the food pantries and the shelters and, you know, the assistance that went to those that, you know, to help them build up so that they can move forward and get jobs. And, you know, now they're being utilized, and it's a small amount that's available as of now. So just imagine how much smaller it's going to be as this situation, you know, continues. And these are individuals that, you know, have amazing jobs. Oh, my gosh, I have a government position. Not knowing mm-hmm. that somebody such as, you know, Trump would be able to utilize it and manipulate it and where in which they're, like, you know, the bargaining chips. Like, here, I'm going to, you know, put them out here. I'm going to take all their jobs so that they become desperate and then they will want to, you know, side on my side just to stop this from happening. And it's not fair.
And the people making those decisions are getting paid. That's
yeah.
the worst part about it. Those people
it's
are getting paid.
Them.
It's not
mm-hmm.
affecting them. They get to furlough, put people in furlough all they want because they are getting paid, which is really
mm-hmm.
selfish. And I don't know how any of them are sleeping at night. I understand that you got to be a cutthroat person when you're in that kind of world, but I still cannot even wrap my mind around how somebody can sleep at night knowing what they're doing to people. Because I
yeah.
couldn't.
Daddy, what
That's
do you,
just me.
Daddy, what do you think about this?
well, you know, first... I just want to send my regards out to all of those workers who are being impacted by this.
Mm-hmm,
That's
mm-hmm.
the first thing that I...
Yeah.
And I want them just to realize that there are people out there that really do care about them and,
yeah.
and care
mm-hmm.
about what is happening because, you know, as a father and as a husband and as having a family and as a Board of Ed teacher, receiving the type of salary that I received, I did live paycheck to paycheck. I know what that is. I know what it is. There was a really phenomenal brother that worked at the bank that I had my money in, that every payday I would have to go to him and ask him, can I put this in as cash? For years. And because you know, he took to me and, I remember it was on 170th Street, you know, right up the block from where I worked. And I remember
don't
I used to go to
trouble.
The bank.
Don't tell him.
No, no.
Don't get him in trouble.
Oh, no. But no, nobody would know because it's that bank no longer exists. That bank no longer exists.
Oh, okay.
The idea, you know, and I literally mean it no longer exists. It was bought out. So it's not that it's not there anymore. It just doesn't exist. The name of that bank
mm-hmm.
don't exist no more. But I know what it is like to have to
mm-hmm.
To go to people and to put
mm-hmm.
your pride on the line.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to feed you all and if I was going to be able to take care of the bill, for years I paid the rent with a penalty because I couldn't pay all the bills the first of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep.
now
I
know there are workers out there that in the absence of this check, what
yeah.
they must be going through. Because if I was going
this
through
this. This past Saturday.
Huh?
No, I'm saying is this past Saturday the first check that they missed? Is this past Saturday?
Not only did they miss it, the check they got said zero.
Damn.
Wow.
They got the check, but it said zero.
Damn.
That's horrible. That's an insult to injury.
My greatest focus in even starting a program like this is to send my regards, my respect, and
absolutely.
My imagination. I can't say I know what it feels like because I was a city worker. And I also became
mm-hmm.
a teacher after the strikes. We did strike, but it never lasted. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like not to get a check. But I do know
mm-hmm.
that the check I got didn't cover everything I needed to cover when it came.
Yeah.
I could catch up by the middle of the month. But there were things that had to be done in order to make that happen. And so I just want to send...
Mm-hmm.
my feelings and just my thoughts to all of those who are being impacted like that. But now,
absolutely.
Here's what I'd like to say. And this is what I think. There are people who get energized by hurting people.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The more they
mm-hmm.
hurt you, the better
mm-hmm.
they feel. you know, and when I'm putting better in quotes because of the nature of what that better is. But I want us to understand that I don't think that he's sad this is happening.
He's feeding off of it.
I think that's what I'm saying. And I believe that as I have watched him, he has attempted to push the envelope of pain for people.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed it and pushed it. The thing, and I believe that it comes from his upbringing.
Yeah, but hey, you do what you learn. You do what you know.
He was sent to military school by his father.
Mm-mm.
And the reason why he was sent to military school was because he acted like this as a child.
Mm.
And I just want us to understand what and who we're dealing with. This mind that we're dealing with that could do this to another human being. Because, you see, there's no reason for this. There is no reason for a shutdown. This has nothing mm-hmm. to do with the wall. The shutdown has nothing to do with the wall. What's actually happening in a Solomonic way, in King Solomon, the biblical mythological story of King Solomon, was the idea of a woman that stole another woman's baby. I'm just going to paraphrase the story. There are a lot of folk out there know this story. King Solomon, in one of the examples of his just, brilliant kingship, they used this example of a woman whose child was stolen. And the woman brought the case before the king to be judged. And the king said, okay, well, you know, what we can do since you both claim to be the mother of the child, what I'm going to do is I'm going to split the baby in half.
Oh, God.
And I'll be able to give half of the baby to you and half the baby to you. And then one of the women
mm-hmm.
said, that's fine.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
the other woman
that's not
said,
her baby.
The other woman said, no. No, let her have him because at least
mm-hmm.
the baby will live. And then
mm-hmm.
King Solomon gave the
baby
to that mother because
mm-hmm.
he said only a mother that truly loves the child would be willing to lose the child in order for him to be able to live. And so what these individuals have done is in this Solomonic way, they have held human beings as pawns
mm-hmm.
to force people
mm-hmm.
to do their will. They're saying,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about them. In fact, he even
mm-hmm.
said most of them are Democrats anyway. So he's willing to influence. You see, when you become president of the United States, you become president of the United States, not of the people that voted for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so as we move through this process, we really have to look at the people that we're dealing with because the same mind would be willing to build a wall to keep human beings in whatever way they may want to come for freedom. Because it wasn't
mm-hmm.
too long ago that it was Europeans that were in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And if Native Americans had built a wall along the eastern coast, white folk, Europeans, would not be in America.
Seriously. Seriously. Wow.
And so, you know, as we move through this as a human family, we have to make some decisions as to who and what we're dealing with because the Republicans could open up the government tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mitch McConnell has the power to bring the vote to the floor, and
mm-hmm.
this bill that they put was the same bill that was passed before.
Mm-hmm.
But then certain people, radio personalities and television personalities, got into his ear and he rejected the bill that Congress had passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we put all of this stuff together, again, although there's so many things we could talk about, I just want to, for my own way, because I feel it because I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. I know the anxiety. I know the emotion. And then
mm-hmm.
just this, and then I'll give up the mic, is the fact of although there's 800,000 people directly impacted, there are millions
mm-hmm.
that are being indirectly impacted.
Yeah.
All those
mm-hmm.
people that would eat in the restaurants,
mm-hmm.
all of those people that would purchase items from the store,
yeah.
all of those people that spent money in the country because they
yeah.
got checks, all those businesses mm-hmm. are being impacted. And then there are businesses that are being impacted that the government will contract, like
mm-hmm.
for lunch and dinner. Well, you know, when you saw President Obama with the sports team in the White House yesterday, the company that they contract to cook for those types of events,
mm-hmm.
they weren't working.
They were furloughed.
So
oh,
he had
God.
To
they
send
were,
out
yeah.
to McDonald's and to Wendy's
oh,
and
mm-hmm.
to all this. And then he
mm-hmm.
made a joke about it.
Yeah.
This is who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But you know something? We knew this. We knew it was a snake when we picked it up. Did I ever tell you the story about the
hey,
snake?
Listen.
Oh,
listen.
Wait, hold on. This is my favorite story. This is a combism right here. Everybody, you know, get your seat. You know, get your popcorn because this is a cobism right here.
Well, no, this ain't a cobism. You know what's interesting is that President Trump once quoted this, but he never quoted Oscar Brown Jr., who had written a song about the snake. And what was interesting is that his daughters called me up, and they were going on MSNBC and on CNN. And the younger daughter of Oscar Brown Jr. and the older daughter, the two sisters, called me and they said, how should we approach this conversation? Because I used to
mm-hmm.
always talk about this story. So they knew, and they also mm-hmm. knew that I knew their father because there was a jazz spot in Manhattan that I used to go to listen to Oscar Brown Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me and they asked me, how should I approach this story? You know, how should I respond to the fact that he took our father's words and twisted them for his own storyline?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always remember this story because I always told you as young people this story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And now, you know, exactly. And now
you
have the other.
To relate it to everything.
It relates to
you know,
everything.
The other story is, you know, if it looked like a duck, if it quacked like a duck, that's the same concept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew who he was, and everybody
yep. mm-hmm.
made it very clear who he was. So
mm-hmm.
he, as far as I am concerned, I am not so much concerned about him because I don't believe that he is the image of evil. I believe he's a reflection of it.
Mm-hmm.
And until the human, the image, you know, they're making him the monster.
Mm-hmm.
He is not the image of the monster. He is the reflection of the monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the people that allow him to continue to conduct his business like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That are at fault. You knew he was a snake, but you
mm-hmm.
voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't complain now. You knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And those that support him in Congress, you knew the things he said about you.
Mm-hmm.
He disrespected your families. He disrespected you. He belittled you. He made you less, my daddy used to say, lower than the belly of a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But you were still willing to do this. So if this is what we have got to come, and then I'm just going to say this, the one thing I've learned from all of this, the one thing I've learned more than anything else, although I knew it, but I never lived it, is how fragile democracy is.
Yeah.
Democracy is very fragile, and all
mm-hmm.
you need is someone like number 45 to come in and to show you
mm-hmm.
what he could do to destroy the many years of progress over the past 50
mm-hmm.
or 60 years. And I think that we
Crazy.
Have got to begin to consider where we're headed as a country. And that's why, again, I will say again, this is why I'm so motivated by Conda Kay and Sasha and Jan and all the work that the younger generation is doing to prepare the future. Because
yeah,
it's up to
absolutely.
You now to make these decisions. It is up to you to understand what the vote is and how to utilize mm-hmm. the vote as a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that you understand what the future holds for the human family
yeah.
if this type of thing continues. So with that,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give the mic back.
Ooh.
There we go. I mean, where do we start?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I can speak from firsthand experience when it comes to seeing the effects, because one of my best friends, she actually works for the government. So throughout this whole thing, it's been such a – I've been highly involved emotionally as well as, you know, supporting her as well, because it's a lot that these individuals are dealing with. It's a lot that, you know, people are experiencing that they've never experienced in their whole entire life. And for me, I actually just went to visit her in Washington, D.C., and I love Washington, D.C., because of everything that it brings. It brings joy. It brings, you know, forward these strong, melanated individuals that you just see, and you're just so happy that you're able to see this in this day and age. And for me, when I went to Washington this time, it blew me away because of how scarce it was outside. There weren't people cool. outside. There weren't, you know, celebrating. We went out to a restaurant. The restaurant is normally jam-packed, door-to-door, you know, it takes a long time to get seated. And this time it was like a totally different place that I went to. And it was mm-hmm. just that whole weekend that I experienced that. And I was just saying, this is, you know, less than a month into it when I went. And I was just so surprised at how it was. And then my best friend told me, she said, you know, like 70 to 80% of Washington, D.C. is affected by it, because a lot of the people that live there are government workers. So this is going to be something that's firsthand that you see, but you go other places and it's not as many as you see in Washington, D.C. And, you know, it's just a sad situation. And for those that are around it, for those that are experiencing it, you know, reach out and get the help, and don't be afraid to have a lending hand, because, you know, this is a time we have to look out for one another and depend on one another and just have each other's back, because it is a really sad time for a lot of individuals, and there is a lot of the psychological, the emotional, the, you know, Sasha and I were just saying, this may end up, and it probably is already into the point of being a depression for a lot
mm-hmm.
of individuals, you know, and I just want to say that I'll lend my hand, and for anybody that needs to speak, you know, reach out to me. It's a very, you know, this is a time we have to look out for one another, and, you know, we're here for you. Just reach out to us. Give us a call. If you want to call Sasha, tell them the number.
It's 929-477-3423, and dial 1 if you have a question. Let me know.
Yeah, or a comment. Question, comment.
Yeah.
You know,
question, comment.
Just reach out.
Anything.
Yeah. Because I know this is affecting a lot of individuals. And, you know, it's very interesting because all you see on TV, like I literally was watching a day before yesterday, I was watching Trump, and he was saying that he wants a see-through steel wall. That's the wall that he wants to make. Like, and a lot of this is just, I mean, it's just adding insult to injury. Not only do we have to deal with what we're dealing with, we have to then see on TV, seeing, you know, agendas being pushed, feeling as though these 800,000 individuals that are directly affected and all of the millions that are indirectly affected, that they are being dangled as, you know, if you don't do this, then I'm going to take from you until you don't have any more. And these are mortgages. This is day-to-day food that is being taken. This is people's livelihood. This is their
yep.
mental health, their physical health. Like,
yep.
there's so much that goes into what we are experiencing. And, you know, for me, I'm not a government worker, so I'm not directly affected, but I'm so indirectly affected by this that it hurts to the core. And, you know, Sasha, talk about it. Talk about the money aspect. Talk about, you know, the psychological aspect of it. How is it, you know, how are you feeling? Because, you know, me and you have had words about this, so, you know, talk to the people.
Well, let us first, we're going to do our first, our break. And then when we come back, I'll do the financial piece of it.
Okay. So tune
let's
in
do this break and
call in.
Enjoy the tune. Yes. We'll see you in a few minutes.
What you looking for? The same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the road below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. Yeah. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
office. Cause some they never had this.
Number one. Never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me, I'm the epitome, a public enemy, used, abused, without clues, I refuse to blow a fuse, they even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype, don't believe the hype, don't believe the hype.
Yes, was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam, but since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. So follow up Farrakhan. Don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. They'll book up the new school rap game. Writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers of the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. So claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of you, a rap burglar. False media, we don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you, dig me? Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype, it's a sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks, some perpetrate. They drink Clorox, attack the black, because I know they lack exact. The cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rules. Remember, there's a need to get alarm. Again, I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab and get elbow. Word to herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the word. You might sing this, just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some denied defiant, I swing bolos. And then they clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, it must be on the pipe, right?
Depends and pads I set, cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, it for static. I see the tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen. I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer. Are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
All right, we are back.
That
was perfect. That was so perfect.
That's
crazy how it came out.
And it's still relevant,
yeah.
Though.
It's
relevant then, and it's relevant now. Like, this is, don't believe the hype. Don't believe what's put in your face, because there's motives behind everything that we're experiencing, and we can't take everything to face value.
Most things are relevant then and relevant now. because we honestly believe that things are progressing, but for the most part, it's just like running on a hamster wheel. You're running and you're sweating and you feel like you're going somewhere, but you haven't gone anywhere, like you're in the same spot. And I don't think that we get it sometimes. I think that we really feel like we're progressing. And I think that the only thing that Donald Trump did that was positive for this country is to open people's eyes. Like, if I watched that, what's it called? Bird Box. And a lot of the symbolism in that is like, we really feel like the only way to survive is to get through life blind. And we don't realize that if we didn't have the visuals, and I'm thinking about this now, like I didn't even think about this before. If we didn't have the ability to see, we wouldn't be afraid. Like the people, some people might not see it. I'm not gonna say my. I was about to blow up the whole movie.
Well, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Yeah, ignorance
is bliss.
If you don't know, you can't miss what you don't know. Like, if you didn't know something was going on, you couldn't be afraid of it. If you never saw it, you can't be afraid of it. And I think that a lot of us are seeing what's going on, and we're feeling certain things because we think we know what's actually going on. And I think that Donald Trump, him being president, really opened our eyes for us to be able to realize that what we saw and what we heard and what we thought is not actually what was going on. Like, a lot of it really is completely inaccurate, because progression hasn't really happened. Some of us have a mindset of progression, but...
Wait, but I just got... My friend just sent me this, and it's an article, and it's the federal workers explaining how they feel about the shutdown and not get paid. And it states that President's chief economic advisor is trying to spin the government shutdown as a kind of extended Christmas vacation for federal workers, but not all government employees are home on furlough. Many are still in the office working without pay. Some expect to receive back pay when the government reopens, but many government workers, like contractors, don't expect back pay. So there are individuals who are home and they'll hopefully eventually get paid. There are some that have to work and eventually get paid, and there's some that have to work and they're not going to get paid.
That's,
so this goes
crazy.
Beyond. And then the spin that is trying to happen, you know, it's just very painful all around. Like, it's just such a horrible situation to go into, and you're thinking, this is a new year, you know, 2019 is going to be better. And is this 2019 or is this 1919? Like, I'm not understanding. The progression. Like, where are we? Where do we need to be? And how can we do this?
You know, and in the question that you had asked before going on the break, something that I was thinking of, you know, I was writing down some notes on this topic. And one of the things that I had said was, how can you work for a country? Like, the people that work for the government are essentially working for the foundation of the country, because the government is that runs the country. It's supposed to be, you know, what runs the country. How can you work for a country no matter what? They want you to go to work because you love your country and because that's what you are dedicated to. When the country that you work for has made their biggest emphasis on money and now we're not giving it. So basically what I was trying to say, this is a capitalistic country. This country is based on the foundation of money. Money is backed by the government. The only thing that backs currency in the United States currency, is the word of the government saying that the money is worth something. So you're essentially working for something. We're all working for something that is valuable because the government says so. And now the government is taking away the one thing that they said you should work for, a value. They're taking it away from certain people as a bargaining chip for things that will harm people.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because when it comes to money, and especially with something like this, your bargaining chip is money. That is what they're using. The government is shut down. The thing that is shut down is the money. It's not, and there's physical things, there's tangible things that come along with the money, but the shutdown is the money. Like the shutdown is the money is not available, people are not getting paid, so people are not doing certain things because they're not getting paid.
Well, it's not even doing certain things. They're not able to pay their mortgage. They're not able to pay their car note. They're not able to do, they're not able to buy food. They're not, like, you know, this is a bigger situation that, you know, we're not even realizing how it is really affecting everybody. So you sit down and you're like, oh, my gosh, like, this is crazy.
And it is, and it is something, it's not, it's parallel to a recession. I mean, a depression, recession, but it's parallel to it. It's not the same thing, but it has similar effects. Because if you're not, if you don't have money, you can't buy things. If you can't buy things, businesses can't make money. If businesses can't make money, they can't pay back the loans that they borrowed from the bank. So essentially, he's like, I don't care about any of this. I don't care about the American people. This shutdown is him saying, I don't care about the American people. I care about what the hell I want, and if I don't get what I want, I'm going to shut down America. He shut down America, but and him shutting down America, because America is money, whether we like it or not, and that's why a lot of us are in the situation that we're in, because we look at America. And another thing that I had said, and this is going along with what I was going to say, is that there are some people that want America to be a melting pot. I always believed that America was everybody came together, everybody worked together. There are some people that want America to be a melting pot of different cultures, and there are some people that look at America as it is a white capitalistically viewed, whether you're white or not. So even if you're black, you have to assimilate to white culture. So it is where liberal actions are not allowed. So there's a division in what people think America is. Because there are some people that think America is a melting pot of different cultures coming together to create a great economic country. And there are some Americans that believe essentially that government is what is based on the ideals of white people. And whether you're black or white or Asian or whether you speak Spanish, whatever you are, you have to assimilate to white culture in order to be considered American. Because they look at it as this is America. But the rest of the world looks at it as this is a white way of, we have to assimilate to the white standard. But white people don't look at it as a white standard. They look at it as a standard because they feel like America belongs to them. So in America belonging to white people, they don't look at white privilege as white privilege. They look at it as a way of life. They don't see what we see. When we see it, we see it as white privilege. We see it as white supremacy. We see it as, you know, assimilating to white culture. But America was based on, first of all, you had people that were being persecuted for different things, and that's why they came here in the first place. But you can't create goodness, savagery. When you get treated a certain way, you come here, you're looking for a better life, but all you know is how to be a savage. So you may have been trying to escape persecution, but when you came here, the only thing that you knew was savagery. So you are the people that you're trying to escape from. And that's when, even with in the Black Panther movie, Killmonger tried so hard to help his people that he became what was oppressing his people in the first place. And I think that we all lose sight of that. We don't realize that you can't create goodness out of someone that's broken. Hurt people, and you have to heal. Like America, the people that came here to escape persecution did not heal from what happened to them. They created a country based on how they were feeling, and they still haven't recovered. Black people,
and that's the thing,
it's not the same thing, but it's the foundation of Black people have not healed from what they went through during slavery. We haven't healed yet. So the way that we're acting is based on being hurt. And the way that we're treating each other is based on being hurt. The conversations that we're having are based on being hurt. So this government shutdown, nobody's recovered. It's an infection. When you don't treat your injury properly, you get an infection, and eventually you're just going to have to cut the whole limb off because it's not, you can't save it. So we also
have to realize that, you know, what we're experiencing, we may be being reintroduced to the trauma that we've experienced. And, you know, like you said, we have to heal. We have to, you know, heal. We have to support each other going forward as a resolution, because my dad never let us come to him with a problem without having a resolution. So not only do I have a resolution, I have a resolution A, B, and C. You know, we have to, in order to resolve, we have to first heal ourselves, take this time, and really, really evaluate why we're feeling the way we're feeling and how can we move forward. The plan B is to support each other. We have to support each other. We cannot succumb to these circumstances because we're being bullied. We need to stand behind each other. We need to build each other up. We need to support each other. We need to provide any resources that we can, because there are those out there that are able to do this, and we do need to stand up and don't get bullied. The one thing about myself and about all of us is that we're loving to everybody, but bullying, I can't get with bullying. So we have to stop this bullying. So we have to support each other. We have to back each other. And my plan C is just to never give up. It's not over till we win. You know, I joke around and I always use my dad's slogan, keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win. But I truly believe that, and we have to believe that, because we're being affected by it, and we have to realize that this is, we have to say, you know, we're feeling this. I'm feeling angry. I'm having an off day. We're allowed to have those kind of days. But guess what? It doesn't matter how many times you fall down. It doesn't matter how many times you feel sad. It matters the fact that you can wake up the next day and you can move forward and you can be the best person that you can be. So we have to realize this, and we have to move forward. You know, we're having this discussion, but we also have to make sure we're instilling in individuals that, you know, we're here for you. We want to support you. And just talk about it, because that's the best way to begin, is to begin to heal, is to talk about how you're feeling and move forward.
And we have to have the conversations, because we're having the conversations with each other, but we're not having conversations with people that are different than us. And I understand there's a lot of people out here, because I have the conversations with them. There's a lot of people out here that don't want to have conversations with white people. They don't want to have conversations with people of Spanish-speaking background because they still feel like they're different than us. We don't have the conversations that we're supposed to have, so we're still not healing. Because if you have a conversation with people that have only been through what you've been through, you're not going to see the sides from all different views. When I have conversations with people at my job, the way that they look at situations is completely different than the way that I look at situations. The way that I was raised is completely different than the way that they were raised. So there's no way to create a country and to create a camaraderie that will be able to live together, even if we want to live in our own neighborhoods. Like, if I want to be, like, I love being around Black people. I love being around my culture. I love being around my people. But I can still get along with other people because I have the ability to listen to them. Most of us don't have the ability to listen to other people. Even if you want to live in a neighborhood with your people, you want to work, you want to shop at Black businesses, we still have to create a country that if we step outside of our community, we're not going to get killed. And that's the problem. Mm. We don't have conversations with people. So the moment that we step outside of our communities, the moment that they step into our communities, someone ends up getting hurt. And the problem is, and this is not the main problem, but one of the problems is that we're not having the conversation, because the people that are not violent, the white people that are not violent and not racist or outright racist, they don't understand people of color. And I can say that because I've had conversations with them. They don't get us. And the reason that they don't get us is because we're reacting out of emotion, and we're reacting because of how we're treated. We're reacting because of the way that our ancestors were treated. But they don't get it because they're not even taught about that. They're trying to take slavery out of the dictionary, out of the encyclopedia and the book altogether. They're not taught the things that we experience. So when they see us, they see dangerous criminals, violent. They see those things. So I know that this conversation is about the government shutdown, but it's also about how we're going to be able to live in America and be able to survive and thrive and live. Because no matter how you feel about the government, if you can't have a conversation with somebody, if you don't understand what's going on in the country, it doesn't matter if you want to be here. It doesn't matter if you want to be an American. If you're here, you're affected. So it does, you can stay silent all you want, but you are still going to be affected. When you turn 62 and 65, unless you do whatever that sovereign citizen, you don't, you're not even eligible for Social Security at that point. But the point is, even if you feel like you're not a citizen, blah, you're still affected by the things that are going on in this country. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Because as long as you're living here, as long as you're a U.S. citizen, you are affected. And it doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if you don't like what's going on in the country. It doesn't matter if you don't like how they're treating people of color. None of that matters. It matters to us, but it doesn't matter in the big picture because you're still going to be affected by everything that is happening with the government being shut down. There's nothing that you can do about it except become a citizen of somewhere else if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're starting here. We're starting the conversation here. It did not end here. This is just a starting point, you know, and that's why this platform and this conversation is so important to us because as a family, we do this, but we are encouraging those out there to have these same sort of conversations, these stimulating, you know, aha moments because, you know, my sister and I, we may not completely agree on everything, but we respect each other enough to say we're going to agree to disagree and we're going to hear each other out. And then, you know, you never know. Sometimes Sasha changes my mind. Sometimes I change her mind. But it's all about the conversation and being able to respect one another. And, you know, I understand, Sasha, exactly what you're saying. We should be able to have conversations with, you know, individuals that may not look like us and still agree to disagree, but also present ourselves exactly how we want to present ourselves and let them understand, like prove them wrong. Because a lot of times these individuals, I went to school in Buffalo, and my school was in a, it was very racist there. And a lot of the class that I graduated with, there was literally probably three melanated individuals in the master's degree program that I went to. And, you know, just being in the class with them and just interacting and having conversations, it was obvious that they have never had an experience with a melanated individual one-on-one. They've never been, you know, outside of their community to experience, you know, somebody such as myself that they're just like, well, we're only going on what we know and what we've learned from the media and everything. And it's just very eye-opening when you know, meet individuals, and they're just like, wow, like, you know, I got it completely wrong, you know. Yes. And we just have to keep evolving, keep, you know, being respectful, keep respecting ourselves, keep respecting individuals, whether they come from the same block as us or, you know, totally different. Like, we just have to respect each other as human beings, move forward, because ultimately those government employees, it's not just black people that are being affected or not just melanated being affected. It's a lot of different races that are affected because it goes high up in the chain. Like even the Secret Service aren't getting paid. And these are the individuals that protect the president and protect the individuals that, you know, are high up in Congress and everything. Like these are people that are not being paid. And, you know, Sasha and I were discussing, like, the TSA and how people are making mockery and a joke about individuals getting onto the plane with weapons and things like that. And it's just like we really have to realize that, you know, everything is built around money. And then when people aren't getting paid, then things start to happen. And we're trying to avoid all of that that's happening. You know, we have to stand up. We have to be the eyes and the ears. And we have to make sure that we are protecting ourselves and everybody else that is around us.
And it's crazy because even as you mentioned with people not getting paid, we're not thinking about the people that depend on the government for benefits. Because a lot of if they do go through with shutting down certain benefits, if they do go through with shutting down certain benefits, like whether it's food stamps or whatever it may be, we don't consider the fact that most of these people at the Donald Trump rallies, a lot of them are poor, uneducated white people. And it's not to be discriminatory. What I'm just saying is that when they do the statistics, a lot of the people are people that they felt like they were privileged because they were white, regardless of the fact that if they're poor, they they feel like they're better than people because they're white. And now, if this does go through, if they're not getting benefits, they're not getting money, and they're going to be on the same level as the people they thought they were better than. And that's crazy because it's really psychological to consider that you went to these rallies, you support Donald Trump because you feel like he supports white supremacy, he supports white people, he supports these things that a lot of these people that are racist, and some of them are of lower income, but they're going to be on the same level. They're going to be losing their benefits as well. And they're going to realize that he wasn't for them in the first place. Because I honestly believe that most wealthy white people hate poor white people more than they hate black people. Because you have the ability to be somebody in this country, according to them. And I'm doing the air quotes. You have the ability to be somebody according to them, and you squandered your privilege away. Like black people are put on a certain level in their world as it is. Okay, you're black, you're not going to have these benefits, whatever. But white people have the ability to have privilege, and they still didn't make it to where wealthier people made it. So, like, it seems like they hate them more, but they don't. They people like Donald Trump feed off of that and make them feel like they're special, so that they can make. So that he can continue to have people at his rallies, because those are the people that are supporting him. He's using them, and they don't even realize that they're being used. He's using them more than he's using black people, because that's another thing. There's a lot of times we see things and we think it has to do with us, but there's a lot of things that are going that don't have to do with us. He's using them, and they don't even realize it, and it's really unfortunate. Because they're taking it out and they're mistreating people because they think that they got something special and they don't.
It's hard. It's rough. So, but, you know, please call in. Please let us know. You know, do you want to bring the callers in? Does somebody have any questions or comments?
All right, I see we have one person on the line. Are you for the 817-504? Are you listening, or did you have a question or comment?
Oh, I have a comment. More of a comment.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening.
Or if you want to give your name.
My name is Trisha Ann.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Trisha. It's nice to meet you, too.
Well, my views are a little bit different. As far as the shutdown, I don't agree with it because many people are hurting, and I don't believe in human suffering on any level, no matter what the reason is. I'm a humanist that way. But I don't believe in immigration as well. To me, the shutdown isn't worth it because I don't believe in any immigration. I don't believe in renewing green cards. I don't want any more work visas to be permitted. So the wall is not that important to me because it doesn't really fix the whole thing for me. You know, there would have to be a wall around the whole of the United States for me because as the shutdown does affect everybody, so does illegal immigration and an influx of immigration from all over, whether it be Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Africa, Asia, whatever. That's why the teachers in Los Angeles are on strike right now because they're classrooms are overcrowded. So, you know, we have to also acknowledge that immigration does have an impact on Americans. And it does. And not to say that is irresponsible. It should be said because it affects everybody. It really does. And I'm from Texas. So we get the brunt of it. We really, really do. As does the border state. We get the brunt. If you're in middle America or the coast up in the middle, you know, upper northeast, north, and, you know, north, New England, you don't get it like the border states get it. So it's kind of hard to connect if it's not affecting you. But there's a reason those teachers in Los Angeles are, they're protesting because their classrooms are overcrowded. There's no funding. Of course it's not. So we also have to be responsible on that end. I'm not for immigration of any kind. I believe for America, Americans, not those with work visas, not those who come here with green cards and work, they need to stay where they are. We need 20 years to get ourselves together because, as they say, you know, charity begins at home. If you give everything out of your home, at the end of the day, you have nothing. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to be that selfish. It's called, survival of the fittest. So that discussion needs to be said as well. I don't agree with the shutdown. I have tweeted Donald Trump about that. It's because I don't. Because real people are hurting. But real people are also hurting because of immigration across the board. We need to deal with what we have to do with at home. Nothing at home. And as they say, what goes on at home stays at home. You can't deal with what's going on at home. The constantly outside of
home. Oh, you're going in and out, Tisha.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, without dealing with what's going on at home, you know. So I do, and I won't lie, I voted for Donald Trump based on immigration alone. And that's very important to me. I don't like immigrants staying here. I just really don't. But I don't agree with the shutdown, and I think it's inhumane. I really do.
Yeah.
So I want to say that I don't agree with it at all.
That's interesting because I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way that you do.
You know what's also interesting is that there may be people that will agree with you, but won't say it because it's a taboo thing to say in this in such a sensitive time because it's. Your concern, foundational level, is valid because I do agree with what you said about being able to fix what we have going on at home, but I don't think that people will hear it for people won't hear it for the value of it. They won't hear it for what you're saying. They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it the way they want to hear it, and it's going to come out in a way. Yeah, it'll come out in a way that'll have people like, oh, wow, I don't even know what to say. And even if they agree with you, even if they can understand where you're coming from, some people may not even be able to vocalize it the way that you did because they're going to, first of all, feel like people will judge them for feeling that way. And second of all, not be able to say it the right way because of what's going on in society now. Because I do understand what you're saying. But it's difficult because so many of us, the first thought in our head, for me, the first thought in my head is like, everybody in this country is an immigrant because they came over here and they killed the people that are already here. So that's the first thought in my head.
And I actually have commentary on this issue every day. So it's not just, I've done this for about 5 years now, even before Trump even ran for president. I've done this commentary on it. And yes, we all were immigrants, but that's really null and void at this time. That's yesteryear. We have to talk about now. So that's yesteryear. Of course, we're all immigrants. It was founded on, America was founded on immigrants and in the wrong way, may I add, because I'm also part Cherokee. So in the wrong way. But that's yesteryear. It's really, that argument is really just rhetoric. That has no bearing on what we're going through at the moment. It really doesn't. To me, that's just to me. Because
yeah, we were, and it's founded on, you know what, a nation of immigrants, but that's yesteryear. We have to live in 2019. We really didn't live in it in 2018, so now we see these problems. So we have to live in it, what's going on right now, not the past and past and past and past. So that argument really needs to be untabled, not on the table.
But,
that doesn't apply these days anymore.
And I see where you're coming from with that also, because we don't have the ability to live in the present and move forward. A lot of the things that we do and a lot of the experiences that we have are based on things that have happened in the past. A lot of the reasons why people are so racist is because of how they were raised. They are prejudiced, racist, sexist, is because of how they were raised. And the way that you were raised is something that's in the past. So the one thing that we need to do is to start living and understanding what we need in order to move forward. It's going to be difficult to be able to do what you're saying until everybody's on the same page. Because not
that,
everybody's going to be on the same page. Yeah, and not everybody's going to be on the same page. And if everybody can get on the same page, if you're an American and you're an American and you want to fix the country so that maybe in the future things could be different, if everybody could be on the same page and if everybody could be willing to do that and to look at each other as an American as opposed to a Black American or a white American or whatever American, everybody would have to get on the same page. But it's still the cycle of hurt people are hurting people. And even though your discussion has validity in it, mm-hmm. everybody has to be able to be on the same page and respect each other based on the ability to move forward as a country, as opposed to so many mm-hmm. people. There are racist people, there are sexist people, there are xenophobia, there are so many people that even if you're an American, but you speak another language, like you're mm-hmm. not, you're looked at a certain way. So, and I'm the type of person that I am always willing to see all points of view. I'm not narrow-minded. I don't look at people and judge them, based on their opinion. So I can see the mm-hmm. validity in what you're saying. And I do believe mm-hmm. in, like, when you're on the airplane and you have the oxygen mask, you have to put it on yourself first. Because I think that this country has a lot of issues that we're not taking care of. And I understand. But the first thing that people think of is, my grandmother's an immigrant. My grandmother's from this place. I may be a citizen, but my grandmother came over here to make a better life. So I don't know if people are ready for it yet. I do understand that we probably have to get rid of it ready for it in order for us to move forward. And I do appreciate your honesty and your rawness and you being able to say it, because a lot of people would not be able to say it the way that you said it. So I definitely appreciate the ability for you to say it. And I hope that one day we come to the point where we can see the value in things that may not be the popular opinion. So,
I do hope so. And mm-hmm. that's the thing. I don't believe in the pull up ourselves by the bootstraps. That's null and void to me as well. Because there's many races who came over and who mooched. You have what they call the quasi $5 Indian. So that there is untabled for me as well. But what I do mm-hmm. Encourage people to do is take personal responsibility. In my family, I'm considered the black sheep of the family. I can honestly say for me, the most racism I've ever experienced in my life has come from black people. That much I can say, seriously.
Wow.
And I have friends across the globe. All four corners of the earth, I know someone, a couple of people on all continents except for Antarctica. It's really about knowledge. You have to seek knowledge and want to know and not always be in your hurt. Yes, and I also have a degree in psychology and law as well. Yes, hurt people hurt people. I've been hurt all of my life, trust me, by just being sure to think of as a child from 3 until 26, I've experienced it, but I've not hurt people. So it takes a personal effort to rise above all that, and people can do it. But it's easy to stay in a state of victimization, and that's just something that I will never support, because mm-hmm. I've done it, and I've had more done to me than a lot of people who, and you can't live in a state of victimhood forever. You're going to have to do something else. Progression doesn't progression doesn't happen being in a state of victimhood. We didn't get 40 acres in a mule. Okay, so what's next?
Well, we thank you for calling in. We respect, everything that you said, because, like I said earlier, we all have our own voices and our own, way in which we think. And we thank you for calling in
because thank you for listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
Absolutely. Always. And you guys have a great evening, darling.
You too.
Thank you as
thank
well.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I feel like everybody has their experiences, and everybody has the way in which they think and the way in which they operate on a day to day basis. And I think I can speak for all of us on this, blog right now and just say, we respect everybody and we respect you. Even if you don't agree with what we're talking about, please call in and just speak about it. Speak your truth. And, we appreciate you for listening. And, go ahead, sister.
No, I was going to say the dialogue is what's important. We're not all going to agree. We're not all going to have the same opinion. But the dialogue is important because things that people say, even if you don't agree with the things that people are saying, certain conversations trigger things in you to make you look at things differently. So it doesn't matter if you agree. There are people that I have conversations with that we may have completely different views, but they will make me think. Like, even that comment will make me think, even if I don't agree with everything, even if I agree with a lot, regardless of what it is, when we have dialogue, it triggers things in us to make us think, and it makes us more human. It triggers our humanity, because a lot of times what takes away our humanity is the human interaction and is the dialogue between people. So I don't care if I agree with you, because I've had conversations, and it's social media. I've had conversations Instagram with people that they'll start out like tearing me apart, and by the time they actually listen to what I'm saying, they'll understand where I'm coming from. And I think that even though that's social media, I don't know these people, we could be in totally different countries, totally different continents, the fact that we are having dialogue and the fact that I can have a conversation with somebody without cursing them out, without calling them names, without calling them stupid. I want to have conversations with people, and I want to make sure that we have these conversations positively. I don't care if I agree with you. I don't care if I disagree with you. I can agree with you completely. I appreciate people that are authentic and honest with their opinion and don't care what other people. I don't like yes people. I don't want somebody that's going to agree with me simply because what I'm saying sounds good. If what I'm saying sounds good but you don't agree, let's have the conversation. We can end the conversation still disagreeing, but that is what will push the country and the culture forward, is if we have the conversation. We're not having the right conversations right now, and it's very disheartening. And it makes those of us that want to have the right conversations, it discourages us, because we are having the wrong conversations. We are focusing on the wrong things, and we're not looking at the government shutdown for what it is. We're not looking at these things. We're not looking at the president for who he is. We need to take, even though he is I'm not going to say what he is, but if we can feel how we want to feel about him, we need to take everything that we have gotten from him and make a better country because of it. He's not going to make America great again. And him being president, we need to figure out a way for us to make America great again. Because the only way for us to be able to live in a country is if we take all of this garbage. Like Daddy says, you take the best and leave the rest. You have to take all of this garbage that comes out of his mouth. And you have to realize what you want and what you don't want as a citizen and as a human in this country. As an employee, as an employer, you have to realize what you want from this country, and that is what's going to make America great again. It's not hashtag MAGA for him. It's going to be us making America great again. And that is, I don't even know what else to say after that. I don't even know what else to say.
But this is a conversation,
and it is continued. And, like, just please, 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 you know, enhancing awareness radio. There's a show on every day. And continue the conversation. My brother Keith, I want you to come on and talk to us about the science within child molestation part two, because I am excited.
Okay.
I am revved up. It is time to talk about it.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you all. You know, this broadcast has been wonderful. You know, as you were saying,
Thank
Sasha, you.
You
know, the dialogue, you know what I'm saying? See, that's what enhancing awareness is about, the dialogue.
Yes.
You know, we are not going to agree. You know what I mean? If we just had perfect shows, you know what I mean, what are we doing? You know what I mean? So I love that the way that it went, you know, and I love that, you know, that's what we're about, right? So absolutely. Thank all of you. You know, I know your father's on another interview, but thank all of you guys. This was amazing. You know, and much needed topic right now.
Thank you.
But we have the science of child molestation part two that's actually coming up tomorrow, and Candace is going to be highlighted as the mental health therapist on that particular broadcast tomorrow. So if you guys have not checked out the first broadcast, it was it was a great segue to it opened a lot of doors, you guys. Like we got so much feedback and so many people in my inbox personally who, you know, we triggered, really. You know, and we had people who actually had shut down completely. You know what I mean? Because that show alone triggered that in them. You know, we have repressed memories that have come up within people. You know, so this is huge. So when, you know, Candace told me that she will do it and Jan, you know, so her and Jan is going to be joining us tomorrow because we want people to call in and to get real life healing. You know what I mean? When it comes to the topic of child molestation, guys, because a lot of people can't afford therapy. You know what I mean? They really can't. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to call, you know, and that's what we're about here on this platform. You know, we want real live action as far as healing is concerned. So, Candace, thank you for agreeing. Sasha, thank you for everything. You guys are amazing.
Problem.
So
thank you,
as always.
So we tomorrow,
you
pop.
Thank you, thank you. That broadcast is going to be tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. So be sure to tune in for that, guys. Please be sure to follow our Facebook group. It's also in the show notes, and you get all the updates. And be sure that you're following us on Blog Talk. You can follow the show, and you also can get email alerts. You can get it set up to where when we get ready to go live, you'll get an email alert that we're going to go live.
Nothing.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys, as always. You know, we'll be back again, same time, same place, next week. So have an amazing evening, you know, and let's talk about it. Keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win.
And stay on for the
and
next
couple
of minutes.
And there's only one
stay on for the next couple of minutes, because this is one of my favorite rappers of all time and a great soul. So just listen. One of my favorite, one of the two J's, that's my favorite, Jay-Z and J. Cole. So keep listening. And see you next week. Listen to you next week, as I said before. Like,
there we go.
Can't see you. Of course you can see me. All right. Good night.
Is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit.
Wow. Niggas been cramping my style. blowing my high, they want to reply. The number one question is how. How does it feel now that you won? How much you work? How big is your home? How come you won't get a few features? I think you should. How about I don't? How about you just get the fuck on my dick? How about you listen and never forget? Only go say this one time, then I'll dip. Niggas ain't worthy to be on my shit. Haven't you heard I'm as cold as a tip? Tip of the ice, but that tip the Titanic. Don't tiptoe around it. My shit is gigantic, as big as the fucking Atlantic. I'm lit, bitch. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit.
I grew up only pure to love. Remember, I got my first year of the blood. I'm hanging out and they shoot up the club. My homie got pharmaceutical plug. I smoke the drug and they run through my veins. I think it's working, it's numbing the pain. Don't give a fuck and I'm someone insane. Don't give a fuck
yeah.
And I'm someone insane.
At this shit daily. So much activist, I convince activists that they should pay me. A practice made perfect on practices, baby. A practice made perfect on practices, baby. Platinum is riding in back like Miss Daisy. Platinum this and I own masters, which pay me. Y'all nigga trapping so last to go Daisy. My nigga still crack like it's back in the 80s. No, your nigga, he acting so crazy. He serve a few pets and he jacking with. Mercedes, he shoot at the police, he clap at old ladies. He don't give a fuck if them crackers gon' hang him. Bitches be asking what have you done lately. I stacked a few ends like my left hand was shady. My life is too crazy, no ad to go play me. My life is too crazy, no ad to go play me.
This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit. This is what you call a flip. 10 keys from a car to brick. Bentley from his mama whip. K.O.D. he hard as shit.
Power.
Greed.
Money. Molly.
Rather than all.